The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
It's time to get in shape and shape up your health. Welcome to Fitness RX Radio with your hosts, Joe Piatero and Greg Valentino. If you're looking for information about health, training, fitness, and nutrition, then stay with us for the next hour. Now, here are Greg Valentino and Joe Piatero.
And happy 2014 to everybody out there. Joe Piatero here with my partner in crime, Greg Valentino. And it's the dawn of a new era, Gregory. It's Fitness Extreme Radio, Fitness R Extreme Radio. So we're going to really be extreme tonight, right, bro?
Love it. We're extreme, baby. We got the moniker Extreme now. I like this. First, we had to get that warning at the beginning. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, that was the first. Yeah.
Now we're tagged with the extreme. You know, I mean, you gotta love it. You gotta love it.
It's just going to be a fucking madhouse, and tonight we got comedian Rich Voss. You guys know him well from Comedy Central, HBO, The Opie and Anthony Show, and then that we have Don Fry, a fucking animal from the UFC day, similar to we had Dan Severin last week. So first we're going to fucking make you laugh your ass off, then we're going to kick your ass tonight. So it's going to be one of those fucking nights, Greg, man. I have a feeling we're going to be like looking back at this one and saying, oh, shit, man, that one really went fucking well.
Oh, absolutely. Don Fry, isn't he the one who actually beat Dan Severn for the championship? I think that's how he won the championship. I think it was Severn. I could be wrong with that, but I actually watched all that stuff when it was happening, you know, back then, you know what I'm saying? Back before it was really big in the mid-90s, you know?
I mean,
Fox is a funny guy, by the way. You know, he's going to laugh your ass off.
Bro, I fucking met Fry. It was at an Arnold, I think, years back, probably like the fucking 2007 or 8 Arnold. And he's just a big dude. He's just a tall, fucking wide, fucking. He just looks like one of those guys that you just get your ass kicked in if you fucking look at them wrong way in the street or something. So he's a fucking intimidating guy. And I can just imagine him in the fucking in the cage. Coming at you bare knuckled. Imagine how fucked up. I mean, you know, like I said, you watched it back then. I didn't watch it at the very, very infancy of the UFC, but I caught up with it kind of early, and then I've watched a lot of DVDs and stuff of the original first couple of UFC cards. It was insane, bro.
Oh, I loved it. I loved it. Because those guys, you know what it is, Joe? Back then, those guys stood up and fought. I mean, they would punch each other's lights out. I mean, it wasn't so much that laying on the ground and, you know, he's in the guard, you know, all that bullshit. I mean, back then it was more of a tough man contest. You know, you had guys going in there, like Dan Severn was talking about last week. You had guys going in there really fucking swinging away. You know what I'm saying?
You know what? The fucking UFC then, I mean, even you go back to the first UFC where the guy, the big fat fucking sumo wrestler got his teeth, I don't know if it was one or two, got actually kicked out of his fucking mouth and landed and went through the cage and landed like on the announcer's table. It's like one of the famous, it was like the first fight out of that UFC 1 tournament that was held in the McNichols Arena back in Denver. But we're going to get to that when we got Don on the line. But right now we have Rich Voss. Voss, what the fuck's going on,
how's
brother?
How's it going? How are you doing? Can you hear me?
I can hear you great, man. What's going on, Voss?
What's going on? I just finished coming from the gym, worked out, had dinner, and I get to call you guys. So it's a very, very eventful evening.
I hope so, bro. I hope you didn't kick your ass at the gym too much. I hope you got something left for us, bro.
No, I mean, I don't, listen, I just lift enough to keep me going, you know, keep me looking the way I look, you know. And I do crunches, and today I did a chest and a triceps. When I usually do chest and biceps. but I did biceps yesterday by themselves because I was.
Where do you train, Rich? Where are you? Like, are you in what city are you in, and where do you train?
I'm in Jersey in Hillsboro. My gym closed, so we just joined Powerhouse in my town. There was three gyms, and then one closed Powerhouse, and the other one is what's that one gym that, retro, but that's all like high school kids. So
I know what you're talking about. See, I used to own a Powerhouse in Westchester County. It's definitely hardcore, hardcore gym, hardcore training. And I'm not sure the gym that just closed down over there in Hillsboro. I know what you're talking about, though, because I'm in Jersey a lot. My girlfriend's from Jersey.
Well, for me, I could work out. I mean, I could work out in a hotel gym. I could work out in a hotel room. I don't care. I'll do a prison workout if I have to,
Attaboy.
I'll figure out a way to do triceps, I'll do whatever I can, I've been working out in gyms since, Jack O'Lane and Bally's, for over 20 years. I should be the size of a house, but I'm not. I'm just regular. But if I wasn't working out, I'd be like, two Bobby Kellys.
Dude.
What were you talking about? MMA before I got on, or?
Yeah, we got Don Fry is coming up after you tonight, boss.
We just had on Dan Severn. We know a lot of those guys, so we're just bullshitting about that. That's all.
See, I don't know anything about, growing up, all we did was we took karate, taekwondo. Back then it was, I met Bill Wallace, who had one of the quickest left feet on the fucking planet. I don't know if you know who he is, Bill Wallace.
Superfoot Wallace, of course. Yeah, Bill Wallace was a legend. He was like the Bruce Lee. I mean, he was like Bruce Lee to a lot of people. I mean, matter of fact, some people say he beat Bruce Lee in a fight.
I know
Superfoot Wallace, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. He would go into gyms and just knock fucking people out. These boxers, he would just knock them out, with his hands, too, not even his feet. Guys it's from our area. We fight in tournaments like Gary Alexander, Kareem Allah, who had a school in Newark. Kareem Allah for the karate championship for Jeff Smith before the fight, the Thrill in Manila. Who was that? Was that Ali and Frazier?
Ali and Joe Frazier, yeah.
Yep,
the fight before it was Kareem Allah and Jeff Smith for the for the championship karate fight. That was the opening fight, and Jeff Smith fucked him up,
It's fucked up how shit. Back then, it was so different. Like, you have a karate fight before a fucking, world championship heavyweight boxing title. But let's talk about some shit that you have going on. I mean, you got some really cool stuff. You do a lot of stand-up live acts. You got your podcast, I Hate My Wife, with your wife, Bonnie. How is that? Like, I mean, obviously, doing that podcast with your wife, I've heard a few of them. And it sounds so natural and just fucking ad-libbed and shit. How is that? I mean, I know you guys got the movie you guys were doing together. Basically,
yeah.
Working and living with your wife, I can get to you sometimes, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, with any... what are you talking about? With any... Actually, I don't know if gay couples fight as much as we do, but, at least they can, roll over and just whatever, And the good thing about here's the good thing about a gay marriage: there's really no spousal abuse. Like, you can knock your fucking, there's gay spousal. Get the fuck out. You can knock your husband out if you're married to a dude. What's he gonna do? Run to the police and go, "Oh, my other husband hit me or something"? You think so? My wife's going, "Yes, no, fuck that." It's a big thing? No. My wife, she follows that shit, the gay marriage. She's internet, I think. You hear what she said?
She's asking you.
I said, it's internet. She said, oh,
you
brother.
Can say cunt, fuck, anything you want to say, boss. You can
you just said, oh, brother. Here's the thing. Our podcast, we don't really plan. We just sit down and we try to make other people feel better about their marriage once they hear us.
You know, so we've done over 100 episodes. You know, it's once a week. You know, we just in our dining room. You know, we every time we want to step it up, you know, we have to, whatever. We might go to New York and do a couple. And, you know, we had a couple where we had marriage counselors, but they were, you know, like comics. Like Florentine was a marriage counselor once. Andy Kimler. You know, Florentine came to our house. We thought, you know, he's a comic. You know, we used him as our marriage counselor, but he was being serious. He was trying to give us, like, real advice, like he's some fucking doctor.
Well, we had Florentine on the show. We were talking about getting assholes eaten. So.
Yeah.
He was giving us advice.
Florentine, please.
That's funny, Florentine, a counselor.
Yeah, Bonnie's in the car trying to go, now you remember what Florentine said, like he's our doctor.
Holy shit. That's funny. You guys have kids?
I have two older daughters, 23 and 21, and then Bonnie and I have a six-year-old that's laying on the couch now. I got one that just graduated college, another one in college, and one in first grade. And the one in first grade is the coolest. Randy, you're the coolest, right? Yeah, right? You're my coolest kid?
Your daughter is six already, Voss?
Yeah, she's six.
Holy, I remember Opie's baby diaper mustache. That didn't seem like that long ago. Holy shit.
Oh, that was Raina's, yeah, that was Raina's crap that Opie wiped on his face.
I can't believe that. Wow, in my head, I'm still picturing, I remember when you first were talking about, you know, having the Bonnie had the baby on the show and shit. And I've been, you know, been back with Opie and Anthony since NEW days, so I know the whole fucking pulse of that fucking place. So that's cool, man, that you have two in college and then you got the little one. Well, and we're going to be going to break in 2 minutes. I want to give you a chance to plug some stuff. You got any appearances coming up on the club circuit?
Yeah, I'm at Bananas in New Jersey this weekend. Then I go to Atlanta, the Laughing Skull, then Miami and Jersey. But the movie, we just talked to our lawyer. We're working out final details to get the movie Women Aren't Funny, comedy documentary Women Aren't Funny online. I really suck at interviews. Maybe I said one or two funny things. Funny, I don't know. I didn't say anything, Bonnie. Funny. Well, I'm interesting at least. I was talking about my workouts. It's a health. It's a health thing. You know what I mean?
Listen. Fuck the health, man. Let's talk about ass eating.
No. Well, listen, if you got one or two good lines out of me. Thank you. That's all I got. Twitter.
And then, we got the plug, the links for the podcast, your site, Twitter, and Facebook up there. Rich, I'd like to thank you so much for joining us, brother, and we'll talk soon, man.
All right, thanks. Sorry, I stink.
You got it, buddy. Take care. That was Rich Voss. Check him out at richvoss.com. Greg and I will be back right after this short commercial break.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
This is Jim Kelly, former Buffalo Bills quarterback and Pro Football Hall of Famer, and you're listening to Joe Pitaro and Greg Valentino.
Fitness RX for Men is the ultimate men's print publication, website, and radio show. More than just fitness, we'll also bring you the best news in sports, entertainment, and lifestyle. Fitness RX for Men was established first as a magazine in 2003. Be sure to visit our website, www.fitnessrxformen.com, and check out our social media pages for up-to-the-minute news and tips every day. It's your ultimate prescription for the perfect body. Visit FitnessRxForMen.com today.
Do the adventures of Indiana Jones leave you curious about this exotic and unusual profession? If so, don't miss Indiana Jones, Myth, Reality, and 21st Century Archaeology with Dr. Joseph Schuldenrein. You'll learn about forensics, ancient civilizations, and human origins. Listen to Dr. Schuldenrein and colleagues discuss their excavations and related archaeological topics, ranging from the unique to the sublime, and yes, even the mundane. Indiana Jones, Myth, Reality, and 21st Century Archaeology, live Wednesday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, on Voice America Variety.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Listening to Fitness RX Radio with hosts Greg Valentino and Joe Piatero. If you have a question or comment for our show today, please call 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. You can also send an email to jpiatero@advancedresearchmedia.com. Now, back to Fitness RX Radio.
And thanks again for Voss being with us, richvoss.com. Make sure you check him out. All the links are there on the article. You can go to his Twitter, Facebook, and his podcast with his wife, Bonnie McFarlane. My wife hates me. But, Greg, next week we got a couple of interesting guests. Mario Andretti Sr.
Oh, yeah.
No introduction needed for him. Everybody knows who he is. And also then John Corabi, former lead singer of Motley Crue. So we got, it's kind of like complete opposites next week, bro.
Oh, God, you can't get more opposite than those. But I'll tell you what, anybody that doesn't know who Mario Andretti is, you shouldn't even bother listening, because that's insane. I mean, the guy's the Babe Ruth of auto racing. And I mean, if it wasn't for him, he put auto racing on the map. I mean,
yeah. I mean, he's...
Mario Andretti is the Michael Jordan, the Babe Ruth, the Wayne Gretzky, however you want to look at it, of auto racing. I mean, he's a god to those people, you know? So
I do not follow NASCAR. I will never fucking say that I did and never say that I do, but obviously Mario Andretti, you don't even need to be a sports fan, a NASCAR fan, a fucking anything fan. He's a name. It's like, it's just one of those landscape names that just goes with the territory that everybody knows who he is. And
I have no idea anything about cars. I'm lucky I can put gas in my car. I don't know anything about cars. I'm not into cars. You can give me a Lamborghini, I'd sell it, keep the money, and drive my Hyundai Elantra. But the thing is that, you know, still, growing up, everybody knew who Mario... I used to call... When I was in high school, remember, I was in high school in the 70s. You know what I'm saying? When I was in high school, you know, my girlfriend... I took my family, my parents' car out. I was only, like, 16. My girlfriend was, like, friggin' 14. I was actually 17. She was 14. And I let her drive to my parents' car. She crashed it. So we all used... Everybody in school used to call her Mario for Mario Andretti.
You can tell him that story next week personally, now. How fucking cool would that be?
Dude, imagine that 14. I was letting some 14-year-old girl drive my parents' car and shit. I don't know what the fuck I was thinking, you know. And I took.
I know what you were thinking.
Yeah, you know, dude. I love that. You have no idea. That was my high school sweetheart and shit. You know, I would have let her shit on my face. You know what I mean? Believe me, I was like friggin'. I let her do whatever she wanted to do. I'm a schmuck, you know. And my parents, my mother, even, you know. Even up until I was adulthood, I always swore it was hard. That was me that drove until finally, like one day, I told my mother, yeah, you're right. Because my mother always knew, that was not you. I know that was not you. You let that girl drive that car, didn't you? And I took the blame. Troopers came, everything. You have no idea. You know, I got hammered for that. And, you know, because she drove it off the road into a creek, like into a ditch with a stream. You know what I'm saying? So she fucked the car up. It went underwater and everything. It was fucked up. Me and her were in the car. I jumped out. We were in the water. You know what I mean? It was fucked up. And she really, you know, she fucking told the thing. But, you know, I took the blame.
Now, the big question I'm going to ask you, did she get any ass off of her after that? Because she owed you big time, bro.
I got to be honest with you. I'm not going to lie. I did not get ass. You know what? I've been out with her for 3 fucking years. I never touched her ass. Because you got to remember, first of all, this is the 70s, okay? And back when we were in high school in the 70s, you didn't like, you know, chicks didn't put out like they do today. You know, they didn't even look like they do today. She was hot as hell, you know? But, you know, the most she got was like, you know, you make out, that's first base. You know, she had big tits, too, so
you
I got, you know,
squeeze the fucking tit.
What's that? Yeah, that was second base. You squeeze the tit. You stick the finger on the fucking vagina and shit. That's third base. And then you bang it. It's home run. And the girls didn't really suck cock back then as much. You know, you had one or two fat chicks in your grade that sucked the dick. So, you know, when you were really horny, maybe you'd get one of them to do that shit. You know, you don't want anybody else to know. Or all the guys did the same girl and shit, you know. But, you know, no, I didn't get any. The only thing I did was I once fucking stuck my finger in a twat when I made out with her. But other than that, most of the time it was just tit and kissing. That's it.
Yeah, but like you said, that was, you guys were young, and it was a different fucking era back then where, you know, people weren't fucking, they didn't have fucking girls, like you said, fucking lined up and fucking banging and shit like that. But,
no.
You know, thank goodness, at least it's not like that for everybody today, and we'll just leave it at
no,
that.
No, I go to my daughter's high school, and I see chicks, but I'm not even going to talk about that shit on the radio, you know, I need to tell you something. You know, they're 15 years old. They don't look like the freaking, they don't look like that when I was younger, you know, in the 70s. Remember, I was 15 years old in 1975. So, you know, I mean, I'm old. You know, I'm 53 now. But, I mean, if you think about how long ago that shit was, you know, the chicks were different back then. So they didn't put out like they did, you know, that kind of shit. It was totally different. But my girlfriend had a slamming body, was easily the hottest girl in school, you know. She was hot. She was very good-looking Italian. No,
now,
no.
When she was driving the car, were you on your way to go do something good, and that fucked it up? Because that
well, no,
really
I was just like, we had actually just broken up and had a fight, so that was my way of getting back in with her. And you know what's funny? I remember her saying, "I feel so cool right now driving this car." And bang, about 10 seconds later, she fucking went off the road into the stream, bang on the car, was face first heading into the water. And I was like, "Oh my god, I'm fucked."
What kind of car was it?
A Malibu Classic.
Oh, that's great, Chevy fucking Malibu.
A Malibu Classic, my father, what a tacky guy. But, yeah, Malibu Classic it was. White with, like, a maroon, like, you remember these had those different, like, that, like, almost like that, like, canvas roof, but it wasn't a convertible. They would just cover it with canvas, you know what I'm saying? Like, white with, like, this maroon canvas roof.
Like the Landau top, you mean?
Yeah, I guess maybe I'm saying the wrong thing. Maybe it's not canvas. It's, yeah, it had some sort of, it was some sort of like cloth over the metal. You know what I'm talking about?
Uh-huh.
Some sort of fucking covering. I forgot what they call that. But you know, a lot of cars in the 70s had that. That's what that's called. What do you call that? A Landis?
The Landau top was like Landau? It almost like was like a pleather kind of fucking covering.
That's it. Yes.
Yeah.
It was almost like a leathery fucking covering over
the
metal.
Yeah, that's the Landau. Yeah. That was fucking mint back then in the cars.
Yeah, they don't do that shit no more, but, that was white with that Landau, whatever you said, maroon roof, and fucking went face first into the fucking water. You know what I mean? And I was like, oh, my God, I had to jump out of here. Troopers came, you know what I mean? They had to check me, see if I was drinking. I don't drink, but, you know, so it doesn't matter, but, you know, I got in so much fucking trouble, even with the law, because of that. Because I took the blame. I said it was me that was driving. Meanwhile, it was her. You know?
That must have been a little fucked up, though. I mean, what did you guys, like, you switch spots before the cops
absolutely.
Got there?
Yeah, absolutely. Fine. I pulled her out of the car. I had to pull her out of the car. Because we were in the water. I pulled her out of the car, and she was crying, and I told her, don't say fucking word. Just let me handle this. And then when the cops came, I told them, it was me that was driving. I wasn't paying attention. You know, I went off the road, blah, 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 blah. And my mother knew it wasn't me, because I was a good driver, you know what I mean? I was 17, and I was driving for a while, you know? I used to take my parents' car when I was, like, 15. You know, when they were home, I'd be driving around with my friend and shit. One time a cop chased me. I drove through somebody's lawn, through the back road, you know what I mean? Like, there was a road behind their lawn. I went right across their lawn, into the back, over in the road. I had my friend Joe, who just passed away, with me in a car, and I lost him. Believe it or not, I was 15. So I was used to driving,
crazy.
You know. My mother knew. There's no way you were driving. You know, she harassed me for years until I was an adult, and I finally admitted it, you know.
And she was still fucking pissed, I bet, even though it was fucking
Oh, yeah, well, she was mad because she knew. She was like, I knew it wasn't you. I knew it, you know. But I was just...
My boy, my angel would never crash his car. I knew it was that
she,
fucking
she knew
whore.
I wasn't an angel. Believe me, she knew... My
fucking
sister was the angel. Believe me, I was never the angel. You know what I mean? I was always the one that was, you know, kind of in trouble. You know what I'm saying? But she knew I was no angel. That's why I would have let that girl drive. You know what I mean? Like, she knew. Because, you know, the girl's 14. She was 14. I was 17. So, because I was 3 years older than her. So, you know, she'd be like, oh, you'd be stupid enough to let a 14-year-old drive a fucking car. And I'm like, you know, well, my mother didn't curse, but only you'd be stupid enough to drive a, let a 14-year-old drive the car. And I don't know. So, you know, I was lusting. Never got no, I didn't get no ass from it, but I was always lusting for her. You know what I like? This chick, she had some fucking body on her. I mean, like I like them, skinny, but with big tits, right? And in the summertime, I would take her to the beach, and she would, I could see the pubic hair kind of sticking out of the sides of the fucking bikini.
That was the old days, bro.
Bro, listen, you know me, bro. I'm from the 70s. I like a rug down there. I don't like all that bald shit. You know?
I'm the other way, man.
Bro, God put hair on that shit because of, you know, for a reason. You know, to hide, you know, because, I don't know. I like a rug. So that used to make me so crazy. I used to jerk off thinking about just when we go to the beach, or like, you know, it wasn't like the ocean beach. We would go to this lake up here, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Called Sparkle Lake. And we go over there, and she'd sit there, and she'd be talking to me, and I'd be looking, well, I couldn't stop looking at her fucking crotch, because I'd see the, you know, she was Italian. I'd see all that hair sticking out of the side. It wasn't like bushy, but it was bushy enough that it got me fucking, I like that, bro. I like a fucking rug. You know what I mean?
You know what's fucked up? I mean, I've thought about this quite often, you know, and what else is there in the world to think about but fucking vagina grooming, right? Now, why did it go from that to fucking trim to fucking completely shaven? And if you followed up on your online porn, which I've done many theses and studies about, it's getting back to a little bit hair on it. So you may get your wish after all, young Gregory.
I like it, bro. I like it. These girls today, they better start growing back. I want to start a thing about that. You know, I want to maybe start a Facebook page, Grow Back Your Bush. You know what I mean? I like that, bro. I do. Especially if it goes up the belly button. You know what I mean? Hers didn't really go up the belly button, but that shit went on the sides, was coming out of the side. And it used to drive me fucking crazy. It used to drive me, even one of my friends noticed it. My friend was telling me, bro, you know, her name was Janet. Janet's got the fucking bush blown out. You see that shit's Christian? And, you know, he thought it was gross. And I'm like, dude, have I seen it? I fucking jerk off to that shit all the time.
You know what it is, though? Because when you were young, you didn't see the actual fucking twat. So when you saw the hair, it was just almost the same thing. Like, oh, I saw a cunt. I saw the fucking hair hanging out of it.
Oh, dude, I loved it. I loved every minute of it. It's all crazy.
Bro, I could talk about vagina forever, but we have... Right now, we're going to have to come back to this after we finish because we have Don Fry on the line right now. And I'm sure Don...
Oh,
if Don wants to continue this conversation, I'm all good, man. What's going on, Don? How's it going?
Oh, I'm just listening to the conversation, getting all worked up here.
Well, let's ask you, what the fuck? Why not? Do you like a fucking hairy bush, a fucking trim bush, or a fucking shave bush?
Oh, I like the latter too, boy. The trim and the clean.
All right. I'm sorry, Greg. You're outnumbered 2-1 tonight. I got a UFC legend on my side.
Only hunting it down.
Hey, Don, how's it going over there? I grew up watching you two fight. I love the way you fight. I like the Joe and I were just talking about that at the beginning of the show. How like back in your day, guys would get in that ring and hang and bang. Whereas today, well, you know, they're laying on the ground for like hours. Sometimes it feels like, you know what I mean, as opposed to, you know, the real, you know what I mean, the real ring stuff like you guys used to do. Do you have any feelings on that?
Yeah, it's changed. It's changed. That's for sure. You know, I mean. Now I think they got a lot more rules, and they got a lot of sponsors they got to make happy, you know. And then they always got to make the promoters happy.
Well, you were a
punter. You know, I mean, what's that?
I said you were a good puncher. I remember you knocking guys out. See, when you watch a fight, it's exciting to see guys in there, you know, throwing punches. When Royce Gracie would be fighting you guys. It was what we hated to see that. You know, I was like, oh, man, you know, I don't want to see him laying on the ground, just grabbing on, holding on to somebody until they finally choke. I want to see, you know, you like to see somebody really going at it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but Hoyce was really smart. Hoyce was a smart fighter, you know. I mean, he didn't weigh as much as these guys. That guy was little. He's only about a $1.75, $1.80, you know. So
yeah. He
gave away a lot. And, you know, it's that was the whole point of the UFC was to show how effective the Gracie Jiu-Jitsu was for the smaller man to meet the bigger man.
No, you're right. Definitely, I mean, Gracie, I mean, obviously we know his record, it was, you know, it's insane. If people, you know, when you first look at him, you never think he was going to be able to do that, but he caused so much damage, and that jiu-jitsu, Brazilian jiu-jitsu was just, you know, it was something different.
Oh, beautiful.
It was much, you know, so different from that, kind of like that Bob Rowan type of things, like a Tank Abbott would do. But you also spent a lot of time in Pride, and a lot of people, you know, these new UFC fans, they kind of overlook an organization like Pride, which, I mean, that was a breeding ground for just amazing talent. And then, obviously, being in Japan, you dealt with a lot more, you know, type of karate type of moves than you did in the early days of the UFC. So how was it going from the UFC, then you did pro wrestling over there in Japan, and then you did Pride? So was it like a completely different strategy you had to do over there in Pride?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I was kind of always been kind of dumb. I just put my head down and charged forward, you know, and never thought anything else. You know, all I wanted to do was win.
Yeah.
You know, so it didn't matter how or who. I just wanted to win.
Son, who did you win the title from? Was it Severn?
Dan Severn was a good buddy of mine. Dan's the one who got me into the UFC. I beat Gary Goodrich in UFC 8, and then I won UFC 9 as only single fights, and then I lost to Mark Coleman in the finals of UFC 10, and then I beat Tank Abbott in the finals of the Ultimate 2.
Oh, okay. Who would you say was your toughest fight? Like, who in there, did anybody really give you a hell of a fight? Like, who, you know, who was your toughest fight?
Well, I'd have to go with Mark Coleman. I mean, he beat me twice. Ken Shamrock broke both my ankles, you know. I mean, I got my hand raised, but I don't think either one of us really won that fight, you know. And then Yoshihiro Takayama, you know, we had a great fight doing that. And, I mean, I was lucky. I had a lot of great fights, a lot of great opponents. So, you know, it's really hard for me to pick one off. You know, Amari Bates, the guy I beat in UFC 9, is a phenomenal fighter. You know, I mean, I had almost killed the guy, you know, and then come again, Mark Coleman almost killed me in UFC 10. So that's what I get for getting cocky.
Was there anybody that you fought where there was bad blood? Like, you ever feel like, yo, I would fight this guy for free. I just want to kick his ass. You know what I mean? Was there any of those kind of things? Like, I know a lot of guys didn't like Tank Abbott. You know, they just wanted to go in there and pummel him. But, I mean, you know, did you have any of those feelings towards anybody, or were you just, you know?
Well, yeah, I wanted to beat Mark Coleman, you know, because he had beat me in 10. And so,
right.
But come the time for us to have the rematch, I was having a lot of troubles with my wife and marriage problems, and then I found out Coleman, he just got divorced from his wife and lost his two daughters, you know, in the divorce, and I have two daughters, so yeah, I put myself in his position, and so I didn't pull the trigger, so he ended up beating me twice, so I was a dumbass. I was a dumbass for being a weenie.
You had a great streak going. I mean, in the UFC, you won your first 6 bouts, I believe, and then, like you said, you won the Ultimate in 96. And then you retired from MMA for a little while, and you won for New Japan Pro Wrestling. And was that like a financial kind of thing? Were they just throwing a lot of money at you down there?
Yeah, boy, I tell you what, they showed up with a wheelbarrow full of money. And, you know, I grew up watching Terry Funk and Bruno Sammartino and Ric Flair and Superstar Billy Graham and, you know, Dirty Dick Murdoch, you know, and hell, I loved all those guys. So I just, you know, I always wanted to be a pro wrestler and had the opportunity to do it, and I jumped on it.
Yeah, I can't blame you. I mean, like, you know, I'm the same way, and Greg, too. We're both big pro wrestling fans. We met Bruno Sammartino in Ohio at the last Arnold Classic. We were like two fucking little kids. Holy shit, it's Bruno, taking pictures with him.
Oh, man.
How could you not love
that? Where did you see him at the Arnold?
We worked for Schwarzenegger at the Arnold Classic. We both worked for a magazine. You know, I'm a columnist for Muscle. Right, and everything. So we were there doing a thing for the magazine.
He was in a hotel, right, Greg?
Yeah, he was in a hotel. He actually asked us to be in the documentary. So we walk him out to his car. We hold the door for him. We're talking with him.
Wow.
Don, you've been at the Arnold before, Don, because I met you there one time years back.
Yeah, I've been there for a decade. I never got asked to be in a movie at the Royal Tower.
Right place at the right time. I think we were hanging out in the fucking lobby waiting for somebody to go out to dinner or something. And then all of a sudden, there's Bruno. And we're like, holy shit. So then the guy goes, hey, you guys want to just, you know, we got the camera rolling. You want to just open the door for him at the limousine? And we're like, fuck yeah, it's Bruno, man.
So we walk him out.
Yeah, really?
Let me think something. He's like 76 years old. And his hand will still crush your hand. And he was telling us, I could still kick somebody's ass.
We weren't asking him fucking to try it either. We believed him.
I tell you what, just like old Terry Funk, I saw Terry about, you know, 2-3 years ago. He come over to see me there in Texas, and that old boy, you know, he towers over me by a couple inches, and he got big old hands on him, big old bear paws, and he just squeezed the juice out of you, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
Now, when you were over there doing the wrestling in Japan, was there other American guys, like the guys, some of the ones you named, that were wrestling there too?
Oh, yeah. You know, you had Scott Norton, who's a great guy. You know, great guy, Scott Norton. We had a bunch of matches together. Steven Regal was there. I never worked with Steven, you know, but we were on a couple tours together. Great, you know, a lot of class. Eddie Guerrero, he was great.
Oh, yeah.
Never worked with him, but we were on a tour, you know. God dang it. Now my brain just took a fart. You made me sit here and think, you know.
But you just threw some fucking big names out there.
Chris,
so, I mean,
you know, Chris Benoit, you know. Chris,
yeah.
He was always a great guy. I mean, I don't know what happened in the last 72 hours of his life, but before that, you know, he was a great guy.
Yeah,
you know?
How did you get into fighting, though, Don? Were you fighting as a kid? Were you one of these guys that started out taking karate and all that stuff when you were a kid, or did it come later on for you?
Oh, yeah, I was always an asshole, you know, sure. I was born an asshole. You know, my dad taught me how to box when I was in the fifth grade, and then I started boxing in the eighth grade, and wrestling in the ninth, and, you know, Manny Martinez, Jerry Peckinpah, they got me into wrestling, and, you know, it just took off from there.
Wow. You made a good career out of it, though. Hey, listen, you know, you're a legend. To guys who are, you know, even to, you know, it's just like when you see, like, one of these old wrestlers, you still get excited, even though, you know what I'm saying, even though you're in the industry and everything. Well, it's UFC guys, you know, when, you know, we bring up your name, Don Fry and Dan Savard, you know, people still get, oh, shit, because you guys are the guys who paved the way for these guys today. There would be none of that today. It was your fights, you guys. To me, those are still the most exciting fights. You know, your knockouts are still shown on some of the best knockouts. You know, and I love that.
Well, I didn't know that. That's great. Yeah, I'll tell you what. It's a hell of a compliment. You know, I mean, you see these athletes nowadays. These guys are tremendous athletes. And, you know, if they just to have them remember my name is something, you know, special.
Yeah, but you know what? I mean, when people like Greg saying, we're talking about old days of UFC, you know, there are certain names that come up, and Fry is one of them. I mean, you can talk about Severin, we had on last week. Obviously, he's a big name. Shamrock Brothers, you can talk about the Gracies, and, you know, you can throw a lot of these guys' names, and you're right in the mix with them. And, you know, how did that whole thing, like you said, that Dan the Beast was the guy that got you in. So how did that whole thing come about?
I got a divorce and I had to vent.
Perfect reason.
Yeah, I wrestled in college. Dan was the assistant wrestling coach under Bobby Douglas at Arizona State. And then I transferred my last year to Oklahoma State. And then after that, Mike Munoz and Al Munoz, the father-son team, got me into boxing, so I did pro boxing for a year and a half and up in Phoenix, and then I got out of sports altogether, and as a fireman on my days off, I was a horseshoer, and I did that for about, I don't know, 7 years, and then I got divorced, and I called up Dan, and I said, hey, can you get me in on this stuff? And he said, yeah. So he got me a couple of fights, and... You know, we're at a travel all the way across country and didn't get paid. But you know what? I think it's the way him testing to see whether, you know, I was game or not. So when he figured I was game, you know, he put my name into the UFC.
Yeah. Wow. You started off like a fucking house on fire, man. You just, you know, especially in that first UFC 8, you won, the three bouts that you fought. I mean, you just really were kicking the shit out of the people that you were fighting. Then also, obviously, we'll jump a couple of years ahead. You fought in a bunch of other organizations as well after Pride and stuff like that. Did you ever think about going back to UFC, though, before you hung it up?
No, here's what happened, guys. And nobody knows this. But, you know, I was real fortunate. Steve Owen was my judo sensei. You know, I started taking up judo when I was still married just to relieve some tension, you know. But Steve's been a phenomenal help with me. What happened was right before the Shamrock fight, my back got broke. And so I fought Ken, and then I fought Takayama, and then I had some more fights, and my back was crumbling throughout the time. And Steve Owen, you know, he put me on his knee and slicked my hair back and wiped my runny nose and then slapped me on the head and sent me out there in the ring, you know, to fight. And, you know, he patched me up as best he could. He kept me going for a decade.
Wow.
And, yeah, a couple years ago, between May 2010 and May 2011, I had five back surgeries. 6 months ago, they fused 10 vertebrae.
Holy shit.
And, it's been, you know, I've been going nuts for the last 6 months, you know. But, yeah, I mean, for the last decade, my life has been crumbling. But good old Steve, you know, he'd hold me together and, you know, make sure I manned up every time I got the phone call.
Wow, that's, you know what, man? You got fucking balls to go in that cage if you're 100%. You got back, you know, issues like that.
Right.
I mean, one back surgery,
you know,
can put
I was
somebody
the
out
time,
forever.
Only time I was 100% was back in 96. After that, the best I ever was 65%. And I got down to where I was probably at 5%, but, you know, between Steve and my wife, Molly, you know, they made sure I kept my word, you know?
Wow. I mean, shit, man. I give you a fucking...
Well, I'll tell you what. You punched hard, I'll tell you that. Even with a 65%, you still had some... I mean, even Boss Wooten, I think, threw your name out there as one of the harder punchers that he's seen, you know? Because he used to do the Pride. He used to be the announcer. He was on our show, and, you know, we were talking a lot. And even he said, threw your name out there as one of the hardest punchers, you know? Because, I mean, you know, give yourself some credit. You were a terror in there. I mean, you knocked some guys out that I didn't think, you know. I mean, I was like, wow, this guy's got some hit, you know.
And that was fucking doing
yeah,
it with a busted up back too, man. And now that you know that, it's even
yeah,
more, you know.
Well, that's, you know, if you watch my last fight in Pride, the final Pride, you know, when I knocked that big old boy down, James Thompson. I just stood there and go, ah, shit. You know, he didn't back up. I couldn't attack him, you know. It was all I could do was stand, you know. When I fought that big Hawaiian, Aki Bono, you know, when he whooped me against the ropes, it was like getting hit by a VW, you know, 35, 450 miles an hour, you know. And I tell you what, get a compliment like that from Boss Rutan's a hell of a thing, man. Boss is a man.
Yeah,
and for him to say something good about you, you know, that means a lot.
He did. Don, we got to go to break. Don Fry, DonFrye.com. I got all the links on the article, your Facebook, your IMD page. We never even got to that stuff. There's a lot more to talk about, but we're going to have to go to break. Don, I'd like to thank you so much for joining us tonight on Extreme Radio, bro.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
Fitness RX for Men is the ultimate men's print publication, website, and radio show. More than just fitness, we'll also bring you the best news in sports, entertainment, and lifestyle. Fitness RX for Men was established first as a magazine in 2003. Be sure to visit our website, www.fitnessrxformen.com, and check out our social media pages for up-to-the-minute news and tips every day. It's your ultimate prescription for the perfect body. Visit fitnessrxformen.com today.
Hi, I'm Shannon Sharp, Fitness RX for Men. Bam!
Listen for MD Radio on the Voice America Variety Channel.
That's Muscular Development Radio.
Every Monday, your host, Sean Ray, will take you inside the world of bodybuilding and health and fitness. The show will feature Hall of Fame bodybuilders, trainers, judges, and the future champions of tomorrow. Plus, you'll be invited to participate in our call-in Ask the Pros feature. And our nutritional spotlight will feature products that can help you achieve your fitness goals. MD Radio is broadcast live Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific, on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Hey, what's up? Mario Lopez here, and we're at Gio's Brooklyn Boxing Club doing a photo shoot for Fitness RX for Men.
You are listening to Fitness RX Radio with hosts Greg Valentino and Joe Piatero. If you have a question or comment for our show today, please call 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. You can also send an email to jpiatero@advancedresearchmedia.com. Now, back to Fitness RX Radio.
And make sure you check out DonFry.com, DonFrye.com. We found out that Don Fry likes a shaved vagina, and he also had a broken back. He kicked the shit out of people still. But, Greg, I want to bring out some of the things that have been going on with us lately. I want to give kudos to some of our buddies on our forum. We got some really good guys that have been out there posting the living shit out of our forum. Definitely want to bring our friend Christian Goodfellas. Put him up there. Adam Speedbag, Scissor Hands, Solomon, definitely him. Lawrence Hines has been posting his ass off lately, and also Zachary 55, who was the winner of our Bluetooth headphones contest. He's really been doing a lot of good posts too, and just it's been the forum's been growing. We won't even get into the negative part of the forum, Greg, because we can take up a whole fucking hour on that.
Oh, dude, if we get into the negative, we could get fired. But
let's stick with the fucking positive with the
speaking
forum.
Speaking of which, it needs to be shaved. Let me tell you, what was I going to say? I just wanted to say, you know, Rick Foss was really starting to get going there. You know, if he's listening anymore, hey, Rick, you know what, we'll have you on again. You know, I thought he was doing really well.
We got to cut a little short with Voss. That's, you know, just shit happens. We were, you know, and I'll talk to him. But Don was great, and you know, definitely both guests were funny and good tonight and informative. And fucking Fry was nuts, bro. I knew he was going to be a fucking maniac.
I love Fry. He's a great guy. But I want to ask you, speaking of shaved bushes, when are we getting Ramona on from? I like her from. When's she coming on? Do you know? Or
you know what? I don't have the full schedule in front of me. I got some names I want to throw out here, bro.
Ramona from Mob Wives.
Yeah, I got to see when she is. I do have a date for her. I just don't have it written down over here. But coming up on the 20th, Gianni Russo. That is Carlo from the fucking original Godfather, bro. We're going to talk a little fucking mafia shit with him. On the 27th, we have Frank Shamrock. That's the other Shamrock. He kicked ass too, though. Frank was a great fighter, and he's also a great announcer also. He did the Strike Force. He was the color commentator of Strike Force for years on Showtime. And also on that same day, Burt Young, Paulie from Rocky.
Oh, yeah, Paulie from Rocky. Who doesn't want to talk to Paulie from Rocky, Burt Young? Come on.
Burt fucking Young, my friends. And then on February 3rd, we have Darcy LaPierre. She is this hot number from the Rodeo Girls reality TV show that's really starting to blow up out there. And just today confirmed, Don Jameson from That Metal Show and also a stand-up comic. This is one of the co-hosts of That Metal Show along with Florentine.
so we're going to have a little fun with him.
Oh, okay.
And then on the 10th, Max Koch. It's also pronounced Cook. That's my explanation. My mistake. Let me correct myself. Max Cook, but it's spelled Koch. Greg, when you hear this fucking guy, you are thinking you're going to be. You are going to be thinking Tony Soprano's on the other line. And I shit, bro, completely the epitome, exact fucking impression of all the Sopranos characters. Does De Niro, all of our Guinea mob movie, mob TV guys, this guy does. He's hysterical, bro. Let me tell you, when you have him on, I already fucking told him, full character, I want him going, run the fucking gamut. He does them all, and it's a pisser. But we're going to get to that later. That's going to be in February. Make sure we want to get that Fitness RX for Men radio show page going. Guys, come on, let's go. We know there's a lot more of you out there. Let's get those fucking likes
come on.
Up. Come on.
So you guys want to hear the boring bodybuilding shit and these other guys are talking about? You want to fall asleep listening to the fucking boring interviews? We're bringing you good people. Bro, we also got my boy, Snooki's ex-boyfriend, Emilio, coming up.
Emilio.
He's going to be telling
me shit about February 24th, we're bringing Emilio on.
Bro, I already know some of the stuff, you know, because you know, that's my boy. You know, he's like a little brother to me. But, dude, wait till he tells you some of the shit about her, some really cool shit, you know. And
give
we'll
the listeners a fucking teaser on that one, bro, because I already know.
Dude, let me tell you something. She used to leave him little cards by the bed when he'd be sleeping, like a little business card would say, this is good for one blowjob, you know, cashing in any kind of coupon. And then whenever he, you know, he would go give her the coupon and she'd have to suck his cock. I mean, you know, dude, you have no idea the shit that she was a little hoe. I love it. And, you know, I know her anyway. So this is going to be like, you know what I mean? It's going to be fun. Believe me.
You've, like you said, you know, you've been with Snooki in person.
Yeah,
I've never seen her in person. I've only seen her on TV.
She's a good girl, actually.
Is she bangable, bro? I mean, you see her in person?
You know what? Dude, she's not terrible. She's not my, you know, she's not my type. Bro, she is small. I'm talking about really short. She's maybe 4'10", 4'9". I mean, she's like midget size, you know. She's got huge tits. She's I really don't want to badmouth her. She's a very nice girl.
No, you're not badmouthing her by saying you'd fucking lay some pipe in there. It's not wrong with that.
No, I would bang. I mean, I'd bang a lot worse than that, trust me. You know what I mean? But,
I suck an emotion for myself.
Me and her, let me tell you, me and her were hitting it off really well. You know what I mean? But I'm not going to do anything. You know, Emilio's my boy.
No, you're not. Yeah, but you're not saying anything bad about it. You're giving him fucking credit. You're saying the girl that he was dating for a long time is fucking attractive. That you want to throw some fucking salt in her mouth.
Well, we were on page 6 of the New York Post, me and her.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because it said that me and her were having a little romance and all this shit. And none of that shit was true. She was actually crying on my shoulder over Emilio. That's what me and her were doing.
That's
funny. You know what I mean?
And
we
these
were falling around.
These fucking assholes on page 6, which is like, if you guys don't know, other than New Yorkers, that's like the TMZ of the New York Post. It's bullshit, fucking celebrity fucking nonsense.
Oh, yeah, we were on page 6, me and her, in June of 2010, actually. But, you know, she was crying over Emilio, you know what I mean, to me. But the page 6, and even MTV, Kid Craddock in the Morning, you can go on YouTube and click on Greg Valentino and Snooki, and you'll see there's videos where they're saying, oh, that me and her were having this little, you know, like it was a little thing between me and her. And there never was. It's all bullshit. I've been with my girlfriend here, you know, the bitch I'm with now, okay? The one I was complaining about last show, which, by the way, I gave her the Heimlich maneuver on New Year's Eve. Or should I say the Heimlich maneuver? I licked her hiney. But, today everything's good. So, you know, last week I was ready to get divorced. Now, you know, we're not married, but, you know, I'm ready.
Yeah, thanks. Things will smooth it over a little bit.
Yeah,
but that's good.
Not.
I'm glad, bro, because we need a good, a happy Gregory. But I also want to get a third opinion here. I want to ask our good friend, our engineer Michael, if he would throw his fucking hog in Snooki. Hey, Mike, would you fuck Snooki from the Jersey Shore?
Dude, not with a 10-foot pole.
Why not, bro?
Not even close.
Oh, come on. You know, she knows
I couldn't
to do,
do
it.
It, man.
Not like she's going to say, what do I do? What do you like? She knows what guys like.
I couldn't do it.
Even if she liked you a note saying one coupon one for one blowjob?
No, man, I would have to return that coupon.
Really?
Yeah.
Which one is it?
I couldn't do it, yeah, man. Not,
how about
J-Wow?
Would you fuck J-Wow from the Jersey Shore?
I'm not even sure who that is.
No, now you know what, dude. Let me tell you something. The girl Sammy, I think I could have banged that. She's very cute in person. Okay, she was in my grill. She's very cute in person. Jay Wow's a dog. But wait, listen. I want to know, Mike. You like blondes? I can tell, right? You like the
I'm a brunette guy, man. My girlfriend's Mexican.
Oh, really? You and I both have something in common.
You guys are fucking in the same ballpark there. Look at that.
Wait, are you Mexican, Mike?
No, I'm not Mexican. I'm French.
Oh, so you're a white boy like me. You got the Latina fucking bug, right?
Yeah.
Like me. My girlfriend's Mexican, and she goes outside, cuts the lawn, blows the leaves, but she don't blow me. I got to pay. No, yeah, she's fucking nuts. Is your girlfriend crazy or no?
Yeah, she's pretty fucking crazy.
How old is yours?
She's 26.
Mine's 27. See that shit? How old are you?
I'm 27.
Oh, see? I'm 53, bro. That shit?
Fucking Greg Robb's the cradle, man. Mike's in his own fucking territory there.
Call me master.
But Mike wouldn't fuck Snooki. Oh, I'm disappointed, bro. Come on. Your girlfriend's not listening. You could tell us the truth, bro.
Yeah, I just couldn't do it, man.
In person, she looks Mexican. You know, like when you get one of the little Mexicans that get the, you know, they get the hair in the, you know, they get the hair in a ponytail, and they're about 5 foot tall, and they've got the little barrel and shit like that. They work at McDonald's. That's what Snooki kind of looks like that in person.
Except she's got fucking a lot of money, so what the fuck? She's got a lot of money though. So what? Yeah, that don't matter. It's all good, bro. Maybe if you fucking give her a fucking multiple orgasm, she'll leave you a little something on the table too on the way out. So might be worth it.
Yeah, right.
Bro, that's gonna be it for us this week. Greg, it's been fucking real. Michael, thanks so much. Right. We're gonna see you guys. FitnessRxForMen.com. Make sure you check us out. Check our Facebook and Twitter and Pinterest pages out. We will see you next week. Greg and Joe, Extreme Radio.
Thank you for listening this week. Greg and Joe will be back next Monday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel with another edition of Fitness RX Radio. Have a pumped week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.